Welcome to the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where faith and sports collide. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
This episode, episode number 110 of the Sports Spectrum Podcast, is brought to you and sponsored by Compassion International. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and sponsor a child today. $38 a month provides food, medical care, education, all being done in the name of Jesus. $38 a month. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and sponsor a child today. Our guest on the Sports Spectrum Podcast, he is Randy Alcorn, founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries and a New York Times best-selling author of over 50 books. Now, his two most famous books are The Treasure Principle, which sold over 2 million copies, and his other book, Heaven, which sold over 1 million copies. That is a lot of copies for a lot of books, for a lot of people reading his stuff. So Randy knows what he's talking about. He's a biblical scholar. I call him sort of a biblical guru, if you will. A theologian, knows the Bible inside and out, and has been a great resource and a great friend to Sports Spectrum. If you got our most recent magazines, you can go to the back and there's a gospel presentation in the back of these magazines. Randy Alcorn is the one who wrote those gospel presentations, and he's done a ton of work for us in our ministry, and Randy's a great friend, and we caught up with Randy recently at a conference down in Texas, and I got to sit down with him and talk to him about a bunch of different topics, including just stewarding money, what that looks like for generosity, especially when it comes to professional athletes, trust issues, post-retirement, transitioning out of the game, just a ton of really good, meaty topics that we got to talk about with Randy. I think you'll really enjoy what he had to say, and I think you'll be a lot smarter when you're finished listening to this interview. So let's get right to it. Without further ado, on the Sports Spectrum Podcast, here's our conversation with New York Times best-selling author Randy Alcorn. It is great to talk to you, Randy, and I want to ask you about what you've been doing with Sports Spectrum and contributing to our magazine. And recently, we asked you to really just lay out the gospel for people in the back page of our latest magazine. And you're going to see these in a lot more future magazines with Sports Spectrum. Tell us how that came about. How did this whole process start?
Yeah, I was asked to do this. And had I written something like this? Well, I've written a tract. It's got a gospel message in it. But it goes on for, you know, a few pages. And this had to be something shorter than that. And I, certainly in my books, I've included the gospel. So I thought, okay, I got to get this down to maybe 400 words or whatever it is, which isn't a lot of words to present the entire gospel. And at first I was praying, I was asking the Lord for guidance. So I put some verses together. Then I thought, well, I'll do a standard gospel presentation where you say that your sins have separated you from God, or, you know, whatever it is. And then you give a verse of scripture to back it up. But I'm looking at these verses and I'm thinking, you know what? These verses are the actual inspired words. Why do I have to kind of paraphrase them? Why don't I use them as really the foothold of this entire presentation? So I did that. I came up with seven of them and just called it Our Problem, God's Solution. And I went through it and kept kind of whittling it down, because of course at first everything's too long and you try to make it short. But what really hit me as I was doing it was the importance of this, because of how many of us in our churches, in our magazines, in our cases, in our newsletter, and on our website, all the pages of content that we have, how often we assume that people understand the gospel and have responded to the gospel, or have even heard the gospel. And our churches, I am convinced, are full of unbelieving people who have been around long enough that everybody assumes they're believers. I mean, I know people that have been asked to lead small groups and have led small groups. And, you know, they know what to do. They look up the Bible verses, they lead the group, they ask the questions, but then they come to faith in Jesus. And it was like everybody just assumed I was born again. Wow. They never challenged me and actually asked me. So I think this is so vitally important, because to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and indwelt by Him and to be destined for heaven, I mean, this is all critical stuff that we shouldn't assume.
Absolutely. You can find it in the latest issue of Sports Spectrum magazine, which you can partner with us and become a member at sportsspectrum.com. Now, I want to ask you, Randy, about your work with Eternal Perspective Ministries. How did that come about?
Well, started it about 27 years ago. I had been a pastor for a number of years and launched out in this ministry, and it's really kind of a platform for my writing and speaking and trying to make a difference in people's lives for eternity by teaching and reaching. We take 100% of the royalties from my books, so we give to ministries all over the world, and it's our opportunity to take the fruit of the labor and what's being done and also invest in eternity, as Eternal Perspective Ministries is about. So there's the teaching part, there's the reaching part, and it's a joy to be part of it.
So you pastored before that?
I did.
And yeah. So what was that transition like, going from being a pastor to sort of running a ministry and then being really a full-time writer?
Yeah, it was quite a transition. I loved my church. I was one of the founders of it and was there for 13, 14 years. And then through some circumstances in our lives and some challenging things that included civil disobedience at abortion clinics, put me in a position where we're getting lawsuits from these clinics, and as a result needed to step out of my job as a pastor so that my wages wouldn't be garnished from the church. And so it's one of these things where you don't plan on that. You think you're going to be a pastor the rest of your life, and sure, suddenly you're not.
Yeah.
And so it was time to launch out into a new ministry.
Excellent. Well, this is a Sports and Faith podcast, so I think one of the angles we've been taking, we're doing this at a conference here in San Antonio, this podcast, is topics, sort of specific areas that we can go into in these interviews. And one of them, I think, for you, because you work with a lot of high-profile athletes, a lot of high-profile celebrities, which we talked about earlier, and just the idea of discipleship and these influential people, these people that are holding very large platforms, and what that looks like for you. So just tell us from a broader perspective, kind of working with some of these athletes, discipling them, what that looks like in your world.
Well, it varies a lot with different guys, and I'm really dependent upon the guys coming to me, because you don't try to push a relationship like that. If people are coming to you, then you say, okay, Lord, they're asking, so I'll tell them, and I'll text them, and I'll ask them how they're doing. Are you growing in your walk with Christ? And lots of times it's just asking questions, checking in. If I haven't heard from a guy for a while who used to text me a lot, used to email me, message me, then I check in with him. I'm involved in an online group where there are some NFL quarterbacks, where I'll post something. Maybe it's a theological thing, a biblical thing, a personal walk with Christ thing. Some of them will respond during the season, not so much because they're focused on their things, but you get the little like and appreciate it. And then what a lot of guys will do is text me or message me and say, hey, about that passage, what do you think about such and such? So I'm able to recommend to them resources, books, Logos Bible software is an example of that, and all of that, and just get these guys connected with the kinds of things that can feed their soul. Now, of course, they're on teams where they've got chaplains. Sometimes they've got team Bible studies, but everybody's different. Sometimes that's all good and that's all enough for them, and some of them are involved in churches, but it's pretty tough, especially during the season, to have a meaningful involvement in a church.
Yeah. What have you seen in talking to these guys, specifically the athletes, about balancing being an NFL player? So you play on Sundays for the most part. Your church is, in essence, your chapel. You know, I talked to a few of the Eagles players on this podcast, and they talk about intentional things like Bible studies, couples Bible studies, and small group settings and things like that. So they do that during the week, especially during the season. But you still really can't replace church with chapel in a lot of ways. Yeah. There is still that church dynamic that is so vital for a believer in Christ. So what do you think is the best way for them to to walk through with them during the season when they're missing church, in essence?
Well, one of the things I encourage guys to do is go online, which you can do now for almost any church, medium-sized church or larger, and just watch the messages, and if you can get the whole worship service, the whole worship service and worship along with it. So, you know, you're being very deliberate there and intentional because you're saying, this is really my church, but, you know, I do work on Sundays, you know. And as a result of that, they're going to be gone, they're going to miss, and if they disconnect, the tendency is going to be, unless they really work at it, then when it's the off season, it's kind of like, okay, I need a break anyway, and I'm going to stay disconnected. And pretty soon, a lot of athletes, I think it's easy for them to really no longer be part of a local church. And part of the reason for that, too, is the challenges that come with being a well-known person in a church.
What would you say to an athlete that might come to you, and really any of our listeners right now who aren't athletes or just people who love the Lord, love sports, but they might struggle with being open about their faith or sharing their faith because they feel like they don't know enough about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you're one of sort of those Bible scholars, if you will, or a theologian, somebody that knows the Bible inside and out. And somebody comes to you and says, okay, what does this mean in this passage? But for an encouragement for those listening, and especially for the athletes, what would you say to them when they come to you and say, I feel a little intimidated to talk about my faith because I don't think I have all the answers?
Right. I would say be honest and say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I'm young at this, but you can only use that for a while. That's where you need to really be sure you are getting in and studying the Word of God so that you become much more proficient in your handling of God's Word. And then be quick to say to people, you know, I can speak as far as I know. This is what my understanding of this passage of Scripture or this doctrine or whatever I'm being asked about. But I'm a student, and I encourage you to be a student and open the Bible and look at it for yourself and pray and ask God to give you insight and give you guidance. But I do say to guys, look, raise the bar for this area of your life. I mean, your spiritual life is key to everything you do. So this is not like something you do for a season just because I got a big platform now. Maybe my platform won't be as big later, or maybe it'll be bigger. It just depends on a lot of things. But don't use as an excuse that I don't have time to do this, because get it, tough schedule, especially during the season. It gets crazy sometimes. But we know guys, I know guys that during the season spend hours during the week, and there are days where they have a day off and they're with their family, but you know, they manage to still get in an hour or two of personal Bible study, reading a good book. And lots of times that just means turning off the TV.
Or your phones.
Yeah, your phone, exactly. And don't be doing the social media thing.
Yeah.
Just do this. And then you can go, if you have any time left over, to the social media, but bring God's perspective to it instead of just getting lost in that world of what everybody thinks about me.
Yeah. And we're such creatures of habit. Do you think that especially athletes who are on a regimented schedule, especially during the season of I have to be there at 7 and I got till 9 and then it's practice and then it's this and it's that, budgeting time for God in that is still vital?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a good friend who's an NFL quarterback who is often up at 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning, to spend time in the Word before he gets to the facility. And wow. Then during the day, when there's a break for this, that, or the other thing, then he's going online to do some Bible studies that he's doing and a master's degree that he's getting and different things. But just the discipline of getting up early and doing that. Now, for me, I'm a late night guy. I don't get up early in the morning because I stay up late and study. But I still start the day, no matter what time it is, whether it's early or whether it's late by other people's standards. Start it in God's Word, because if I don't, I just don't bring the perspective to the day that I need to have.
Mm. Vital, absolutely vital. Now, we talked a little bit earlier before we started this podcast off air about the sort of normalcy that is an NFL athlete. It's really not. It's anything but normal.
Right.
And when you get to a level of not just starting quarterback in the NFL, but elite, like really good starting quarterback in the NFL, as you've worked with, as have I, you see these guys and they can't live a normal life. But from a perspective of being a Christian NFL player, there's a struggle there, a push-pull, I think, in trying to live a normal life, trying to acclimate yourself to people, be nice to them, but still struggling with sort of that notoriety. Right. Talk about a little bit of some of the experiences you've worked with some of the guys and what that's like.
Well, I think one of the big challenges is, and one of the big tests is, you're surrounded by people who are always serving you. I mean, literally, yeah. Guys, yeah. I mean, they're feeding you. They're helping you. They got your airplane tickets. They got this. They got that. And, you know, whatever, they're providing all of this stuff for you, and they're doing things for you in therapy. And you're surrounded by people who are there to serve you. Well, if you're not really grateful and expressive of your gratitude and thanks, and I like to know about your family, personal interests in your life, when you can do that.
Yeah, of course.
Then what happens is you begin to see the world as existing to serve you. And I've had some friends that have been athletes, and they said, you know, it was really an adjustment. I didn't realize that the world revolved around me as much as it did. Other people were aware that it revolved around them, but they yeah. weren't necessarily aware. Right. And a lot of these guys are great guys. I mean, they are. I've been with them where people are coming up to get their autographs in situations where you kind of think they'd say, no, I'm sorry, I just can't do that right now. And I've certainly seen guys who refuse to give autographs, and I've seen the expressions of disappointment, especially when it's on the face of children. Like, for instance, a couple of times my grandkids, I was with my grandkids somewhere, and they saw somebody, and they, you know, they come up to them, and would you sign? No, no, I don't sign. I don't sign. Or I don't sign in the hotel or wherever. I only sign certain places, certain times. And then kind of crushes the spirit of the kid and all that. Now, most of the guys I know, the solid Christians, they do have a heart for servanthood. They really want to honor the Lord. They'll say yes. But at some point, you got to draw the line. I mean, these guys, I have a friend, and this particular one, who's not an athlete, but he's actually an extremely well-known celebrity and one of the most recognizable celebrities in the world. And I'm deliberately not mentioning names either of the athletes or this person,
of course,
just to respect their privacy, which, by the way, is one of the things, as you well know, Jason, where you got to trust. I mean, if you have somebody's permission and you have a particular reason for mentioning their name, okay, and you've cleared it with them. But otherwise, when we just throw out names, then we violate trust, and you can't have a relationship with them unless, you know, it's really built on that kind of trust. But anyway, we're out to dinner with this friend, and we've spent a lot of time at his house and with his wife, and we've gone out to dinner with him, and it's crazy going out to dinner with him because, I mean, literally, person after person, the waiter, the waitress, the whole crew, the kitchen, people are coming out from the kitchen because word gets out. You know, I think one of the things that from a fan's point of view, and maybe from Christian fans or unbelieving fans, whoever's sure. listening to this broadcast, to be able to kind of take into consideration, of course it's understandable, you're excited, you see this person, I get that, but when they're with their families in particular and trying to have a dinner or do something that normal families do, like you see them at Disneyland and they're with their kids, this is just really not the opportunity. I mean, just a brief, hey, enjoy watching you play. All right, have a good day. Okay, that's fine.
Sure.
But don't turn it into a sign my this and sign my that and record something for my cousin, you know, and pose with me because we're going to put this on Facebook. And then, unfortunately, now multiply that by hundreds of times, and this family has had a pretty miserable day in Disneyland, and probably there are some marriage problems that are ensuing from this.
Yeah.
You've just put this guy in an extremely difficult person. Or if it was, you know, maybe it's a woman who's an Olympic athlete, and you put her husband in that position. But whatever it is, just be sensitive to
it. Is that a struggle in your dealings with just saying the word no? That's hard for a lot of, especially as believers, we want to be nice and we want to be kind. And saying no for a lot of people is difficult. That's why a lot of the athletes that I've worked with, have what you call PR people or handlers or whoever to sort of be the bad guy.
That's exactly right.
For them, because they just can't say no.
Yeah, and that's why you'll sometimes see somebody with somebody walking around with them that is there basically to be the bad guy. And this on a much, much, much smaller, I can't emphasize how much smaller level, when I'm places where like at booksellers conventions and that sort of thing, and where people know that you're a writer and all of that, and then you have to be somewhere. Okay. And so they always send an escort with you to be the bad guy. But I have gotten to the point where for me, I would rather say, hey, look, I've only got a minute, but I just want to, because to me, I'm so embarrassed by someone stepping in front of me like, well, Randy's quite important.
Yeah, exactly.
And I go,
will
no,
you
no,
sign
no.
my book?
I'm here to, yeah, exactly. I'm here to serve. But it is kind of funny because I was with an NFL quarterback who's well known, and we were together someplace, and I never ask for pictures, autographs, anything like that.
Of course.
But then he says, hey, is it okay if my wife takes your picture? I mean, us together, a picture of us together? So then I said,
awkward.
Oh, well, since you asked, yeah, would you email that to me?
Yeah.
So I have that picture up at home.
That's
so
great.
So he says, well, I thought you never ask athletes. I said, he asked me, which
yes,
makes
dude.
It even better.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. We'll get back to our conversation with New York Times bestselling author Randy Alcorn in just a moment, but I want to tell you about our friends at Compassion International. I'm so excited that they are partnering with us here on the podcast. And listen, we all have this sort of desire to serve, this sort of desire to help others in need. And Compassion has done a great job in allowing us an outlet to serve and to give back and to help children in need, children in poverty, children who don't have an education, children who need food to eat, who are struggling where they're going to find their next meal. Compassion International allows this opportunity to become a real thing for you and your family. My wife, my daughter, myself, we all sponsor a child with Compassion. It's $38 a month, and I promise you it's the best $38 you will spend every single month. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum. compassion.com/sportspectrum. $38 a month. That will get you in. You get to choose which child you want to sponsor if you go to the website, and really just make a dream come true for these kids that are waiting for an opportunity for education, for tutoring, for medical care, for vocational training, for food, and of course, the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Over 1.8 million people so far have been released from poverty in Jesus' name through Compassion International. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and sponsor a child today. We're talking to Randy Alcorn here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. And I want to talk, Randy, and the idea of generosity from an athlete and somebody who makes millions and millions of dollars a year. And some of the players I know that you've worked with are in that range of making 5 or 10 or 20 million dollars in a season. And as Christians, and as we're called to be generous, Christian athletes, we're still called to be generous, but suddenly you're making $20 million a year and you're probably again getting pulled from 1,000 different directions to be generous. Where do you think that line needs to be drawn, or how can a high-profile athlete who's making a lot of money be able to steward that money properly and be generous?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I get this one a lot. One, because I've written books on this subject, so athletes that I know have either read the books or they've been to a seminar that I've done at a Pro Athletes Outreach Conference or something like that. And so I get that a lot. And one of the questions that I've gotten from several guys starts with, okay, I believe, like you say in your books, start with a tithe. Don't end with a tithe, but start with the 10%.
Right.
And normally I recommend that people start with the local church. Well, if you are making $20 million, start doing the math on this now, you know, and you are at a medium-sized church, your $2 million tithe could really sort of upset the balance in that church. And if it's the right church in the right circumstances where they get kind of an extra $2 million this year, they might say, okay, let's just give that to missions. We don't need it. But what a lot of churches are going to do is they're going to ramp up staff and they're going to hire people and they're going to, you know, undertake this building project. None of that's bad or wrong. But then what happens next year when you're not making that money anymore, or you're at a different church, you move to a different city, and therefore should get involved in another church? And that happens all the time. So you don't want a situation where the church becomes dependent upon your giving, but you also don't want, in effect, to send the message to the regular people with regular incomes in the church that somehow they're not needed.
Right.
We have a few high-profile athletes here, and so, you know, that's how our buildings get.
So they'll cover it all.
Exactly. Yeah. And then what it does is it really kind of demotivates other people from giving. But one of the things I say to athletes is, when they've asked me this, is, okay, but you no need to worry about that. So just start with your church, and in your case, give what you feel is generous enough that will really help your church. And then if a tithe is more than you feel would be appropriate, then give the rest of that away. But then you can do your way more than a tithe. And when I say way more than a tithe, I just mean, because we're in the wealthiest culture in human history. And so you don't have to be making $20 million a year to be an extremely wealthy person. And so one of the things I say to people is, go to globalrichlist.com website, put in your income for the year, and you will be shocked to find where you rate. You may very well be in the 99.3, 99.2, 99.1 percentile, and you'd be shocked at how little you have to make to make it down to even the 97th or 96th percentile. I mean, if you put in right now $25,000 a year for a family of four is U.S. poverty level,
right,
and you enter that in and see where it shows you percentile wise compared to the rest of the world, and again, you'll be amazed. But getting back now to the athletes, they are among the wealthy, you know, so
right,
the really high, you know. So, but the principles are the same. I think for the poorest Israelite to be required to tithe and to actually have three tithes that added up to 23%, but some of them were more like taxes for us in ancient Israel. But at least the 10% that went to the priests and the Levites, that would be like equivalent to us tithing to a local church. But then there's a world of need out there. Now, a lot of professional athletes get this, and they do a great job of, you know, raising money for this, that, and giving money to all of these different things. But there's challenges with that, too. And one of the things that I've told the athletes who have asked me about, you know, should I start a foundation? And a lot of guys do that. And one of the things I'd say is, well, yes, if God leads you to do that, but also keep in mind that there's lots of organizations out there already that are very knowledgeable and they're being good stewards. Why don't you consider supporting them with your wealth and encouraging other people to give to them? Sometimes when you start your own foundation, now you have a whole bunch of people you have to pay. You have to pay a lot of money, and to earn your money, they will spend your money do this, and they will do this and do this. And pretty soon, some of these foundations that are being sponsored by millions of dollars from an athlete are not helping people at the rate of millions of dollars because they have so many overhead expenses.
Interesting, and especially because, you know, there's a sort of a running joke in the NFL that it stands for not for long. And it's a very real sort of acronym, because NFL players, I think, average 2.5 to 3 years as a lifespan, as a lifespan in the league.
Right.
So you're not going to be making this money very long. Some guys are fortunate. They can play 10, 15 years. So they got a very small window to make the large amounts of money that they make. And for the most part, they're going to be back to a sort of normal life like you and I maybe once they're done. And we've talked about this as well, the adjustment post-career for a lot of these players, especially Christian athletes, can be very difficult because, like you said earlier, they have been handed everything to them What would you tell me earlier before we were taping that there was one guy who didn't even know how to order food, was it?
Something well, it was buy an airline ticket.
Right. He'd never done that.
Right. And he was actually used to other people carrying his airline ticket. And so he didn't even know how
to print it out.
Yeah. And his wife was saying, well, this is, this has been a real learning curve because you have to learn how the real world works. You actually have to call and make reservations or make them online.
Yeah.
And people actually do this themselves. They don't, they don't have the team people who do that. Well, of course the teams do that. They're not going to leave it to every individual player, to get a reservation or to do this or to reserve a hotel room. Of course, that's all done for you. And that's understandable, but the problem is seeing how the world really works, going shopping for yourself, which you maybe haven't done since you were a high school kid that stopped in somewhere for a Slurpee.
Right.
And that's been about the extent of buying. You don't buy milk. You don't do,
right.
There's either somebody who does that for you or you're married and your wife is always doing that. And since you're the high profile guy that can't go into a store or a restaurant without getting a lot of attention, some guys just stay at home and they have their own little sort of isolated kingdom at home. And that's not healthy either. And it's tough on these guys. I mean, I'm extremely sympathetic with them because I see from a friendship point of view, I'm not critical of them. And by the way, this is another thing you get all the time. You get the people talking about, oh, these spoiled rich athletes. And I've actually got a couple of writer friends who have said, oh, these athletes, they're so spoiled and all this kind of stuff. But just let me ask you this. If your publisher offered to pay you $20 million for your next book, would you say, oh, no, that would make me a selfish person to receive that? No, I mean, that's what the market does. Okay, so the point is not how much you're paid. The point is what you do with it and how are you generous with it and are you wise with it and are you quick to do what 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich in this world to be generous and willing to share, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who has created all things for our enjoyment. There is a place for that enjoyment. But then it says that by doing this, by giving, they are laying up for themselves treasures as a firm foundation for the coming age. Well, that's good advice for not only athletes who might be super rich for a period of time, but for the rest of us who are just relatively rich. And the other thing I would say is that I've had friends who are athletes who have said, we've all heard the horror stories. I mean, we've all been told about all the athletes, former athletes, that are living out on the streets. And one of the things I say to guys is, well, first of all, if you take what you're being paid this year, now let's say it was just this year.
Sure.
All right. And you have a career ending injury and all that. But I mean, if you took, in some cases, a quarter of that and set that aside, or certainly if you took a half of that, let's just put it this way. It would be impossible for you to end up on the streets unless you do some really dumb stuff. Now, some athletes do.
Yes.
But I think the good counsel is don't waste your money and throw away your money and put it into bad investments and buy houses for your second cousins who you hardly know because you've made all this money. Instead, take a big chunk of it, be really generous with it, and then be careful as you save and wisely invest some of the rest.
What about, we talked about trust issues there too a little bit, but the trust issue of the hangers-ons, as I like to call them, are people who are just consistently thinking, well, hey, you and me have known each other since we were 15,
right.
So you're making $20 million now. Where's my new car?
Right.
Where's my little lump of change here?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Like you owe me.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of athletes are pretty kind-hearted, and that's not unfortunate.
But loyal in some cases.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then an unwise thing happens. And, of course, the moment you start giving somebody, obviously, a house or a car or even just really, really, really nice gifts, then they start expecting it.
Hmm.
And so, like, some people start giving really expensive Christmas presents to everybody they know, And then what happens when the Christmas present doesn't show up? Oh, wow, we were kind of counting on that. Yeah. We're getting a turkey from you guys every Thanksgiving. It was, you know, a honey glazed ham. And how come those babies aren't showing up anymore? It's like, well, who entitled you to get a honey glazed ham, for crying out loud? Yeah. I mean, what did you do? It was a gift. But what we do is we have this spirit of entitlement. And people who know athletes will go to them and to get tickets all the time and to do this. Well, you know, they have to pay for those. And some of these guys, and even if they're making a lot of money, let them decide what they're going to do with it. If they invite you and they say, hey, would you like some tickets? Oh, man, I had somebody do that recently, an athlete friend. And man, that's so great. But I would never ask them for a ticket. I mean,
of course.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as we close and start to wind down this podcast, I want to ask you about the transition after the game. We talked about the NFL, not for long side, but the aspect, we didn't really talk about this part of it, the aspect of identity. So many athletes are caught up in an identity crisis in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They know their child, a lot of them who are Christians know they're children of God. They know that they're, you know, sons and daughters of the King, but they're so identified with their occupation, with their job. First thing that people will say is, I know you because you're the quarterback of X team. Not, I know you because I heard that you're a real strong Christian who loves Jesus, right? So where does that factor in your eyes, the identity crisis and guys trying to stay rooted in who they truly are in Christ?
Yeah. I have some friends who have moved on from the NFL in particular and a couple of other sports who had quite difficult times in the transition. And I was just talking to one the other day who didn't expect to have a tough time in the transition. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is because, you know, I knew it was about my relationship with God. It wasn't about me being an athlete the rest of my life. I knew I wasn't going to be. And so I kind of thought I was ready for the transition. But then I went to school and I was studying and I was working and I just felt like I needed to do that to be productive, though he had plenty of money saved up. But he said, I found that that first year was especially difficult for my wife and for me because I was kind of at age, in his case, 35, doing what a lot of kids do when they go off to college and they learn how to kind of take care of themselves. And so, yeah, the transition issue is difficult. But I think the identity, Jason, as you said there, I mean, that's just central because who we are in Christ. I am a child of God. Jesus is my Savior and Lord and King. And even the John 3, he must increase, I must decrease. The increase and decrease is so critically important because it is about him and it's not about me. So once you truly develop that mentality, and again, it'll be tested, you know, in your transition, then I think it does make a much smoother transition. Because for a lot of guys, even the guys that have been gone for a year and want to come back to the game, and, you know, that's fine if that's what they want to do.
Sure.
But sometimes they want to come back to the game because they miss the fact that they don't have a life now. Because their life, the only life they knew was the NFL or whatever pro sport it might be.
Yeah.
And that's a sad situation, and that should not be true of a believer. The other thing I would say is God gave you a platform while you were an athlete, but that platform, to a degree, will be carried with you the rest of your life. You'll be asked to share or to speak or to write something or to say something, or people will know that you were an athlete, you know, like a friend of mine, you know, said I had somebody come up to me, didn't you used to be, and then gave his name,
yeah.
You know, like, actually, I still am.
Nope, still same guy.
That's who I am. But that perfectly captured. He was laughing at it because didn't you used to be so? Well, I actually still am that person. but that just shows you the mentality that, and other people have it. You can have it yourself, but don't, because your life is so much bigger as a child of God than that.
That's really good. Let's wrap it up with this. Randy Alcorn, we do appreciate you being here on the podcast. We ask this to many of our guests here at the close of the podcast, and it's an easy question to ask. Sometimes it's not as easy of an answer for people, but for you, where you are right now and working with Eternal Perspective Ministries, mentoring and helping a lot of pro athletes, What has the Lord been teaching you during this season? What are you learning from God?
I think a greater sense of dependence and the importance of daily listening to his voice in terms of all the divine appointments that he sends my way. I'm mostly a writer. At least I like to think I'm mostly a writer, except some weeks you would not know it because I get zero writing done. And I can easily get frustrated with that, and I can easily start viewing people in my church, people in my neighborhood, even friends, as interruptions. And I think when you view them that way, that's a slippery slope. You are headed the wrong direction. I think largely our lives, and C.S. Lewis said something like this about how our lives largely consist of interruptions. But those interruptions, and Lewis didn't use the term divine appointments, but I would add that term. At the end of the day, I often haven't done what I had planned to do that day, but God used me and put me in positions and allowed me to speak into people's lives who were very needy. And they had a child who was diagnosed with leukemia. And at the end of the day, can I say that, I wasted my day because I was going to get writing done? Well, some days the writing isn't what God wants me to do. I mean, the publishers want me to do it, and eventually I better get it done. But I have been learning that, and that's not an easy thing. But it's something that has enriched my heart.
He is Randy Alcorn, the author of nearly 50 books, including Courageous and The Treasure Principle. Of course, the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. You can learn more about Randy and all the great work he's doing at EPM.org. That's EPM.org. Randy, thank you so much for being here on the podcast. I really do appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure, Jason. Thanks for your work.
And we do thank Randy Alcorn, New York Times best-selling author and the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries, for joining us here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. And listen, Randy has so much wisdom. He's written over 50 books, and we just appreciate him sharing some of that wisdom here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. He's also an active blogger and posting daily on Facebook and Twitter, so go check him out online. Social media, you can find him at Randy Alcorn, and his blog can be found at the Eternal Perspective Ministries website, which is EPM.org, EPM.org. So thanks to Randy for being here on the podcast, and we thank you for listening to this podcast, which has been brought to you and sponsored by Compassion International. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum. Sponsor a child today. It's the best $38 you will spend every single month. And what it's doing, it's releasing these children through poverty and doing it in such a wonderful way because you get to make the difference. We all want to make a difference in people's lives somehow, some way, right? Well, this is such an easy way and such an impactful way to go to compassion.com/sportspectrum and look for a child that maybe fits what you're looking for. You get to choose which child you want to sponsor. And for $38 a month, you give that child a hope. You give that child a future, and you give that child an opportunity to be released from poverty and to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. 150,000 children came to know Christ last year just through Compassion International. What a difference you can make by going to compassion.com/sportspectrum and sponsoring a child today. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. As always, you can reach us on Twitter @sports_spectrum, and you can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Sports Spectrum Podcast.